Good morning, everybody. This week's center is Parshat Bechukotai. And for some reason, I don't know why, we never learned this Haftorah. I may have been out of the country last year at this time. We never learned this Haftorah. It happens to be the Haftorah of my Bar Mitzvah Seder, not so long ago. And I never really bothered to study it in depth. But for you, in preparation for this class, I've done some work on it. It's a difficult yet fascinating Haftorah. So I think we'll have to first do part of the text, and after we've done part of the text, we'll try and see, as usual, what is the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah, and what are the main ideas that are expressed here in the Haftorah. The Haftorah comes from Sefer Yirmiyahu. Sefer Yirmiyahu, chapter 16, Pasuk 19. Yirmiyahu begins by saying, Hashem Uzi Umo Uzi, God is my strength. He is my strength. Umo Uzi. Mo Uzi comes from the word Ma'oz. What does Ma'oz mean in modern Hebrew? Stronghold. He is my strength, and he is my stronghold. Uminusi Beyond Sada. He is the place, he is the one to whom I can flee beyond Tzara in a day of trouble. Some of the Mefarshim say Minusi here comes from the word Nes, a banner. He is the one to whom I can go, and he is the one who raises my banner beyond Tzara on a day of trouble. Eilecha goyim yavo me'afsei aretz, to you, nations of the world are going to come from the very ends of the earth, v'yomru, and they are going to say, ach sheker nochalu avoteinu. Imagine, a day will come when the nations of the world are going to finally realize that the heritage, that which they have inherited from their fathers, was all a lie. Ach sheker nachalu avoteinu, our fathers taught us that which is sheker, it's a lie, hevel, nonsense, ve'ein bon mo'il, something that is of no benefit whatsoever. That's going to be quite an admission. One of the most difficult things for a human being to do is to admit that he was wrong, that the life that he lived was a terrible, terrible mistake. And here nations of the world are going to come at some moment in history, and they're going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, God of Israel, Sheker Nachalu Avoteinu, our fathers gave us an inheritance, a heritage that was false, Hevel Ve'ein Bam Mo'il. Hayaseh Lo Adam Elohim Behema Lo Elohim. It's a rhetorical question. Isn't it strange? Hayatelo Adam Elohim, a man will make for himself a god. He will accept something upon himself as a god, Behema, Lo Elohim, and they are not gods. How strange man is, that he is capable of following all sorts of nonsense, and for that matter, even giving his life for it. Lochain, therefore, Hineni modi om bapam hazot. I will let them know. This time, I'm going to let them know. Meaning that I'm going to let the nations of the world know. Throughout history, I had demonstrated my existence to the Jewish people. For them, I did all sorts of miracles and signs. I never did anything really for the nations of the world that was clearly miraculous. But Bapam Azot, this time, Odiyem, Et Yadiv Et Gevurati, I'm going to let them know the might of my hand and Gevurati, my strength. V'yadu, and then they will know, Kishmi Hashem, that my name is God. Once they have taken the step, once they realize Sheker Nochalu Avotenu, that our father gave us an inheritance that is nonsense and is ridiculous and it's a lie, at that moment man is ready to hear the message of God. And therefore God says, okay, you've gone through all sorts of idolatries and all sorts of beliefs, finally reached the point where you see that it's all hevel, ein b'mo'il, doesn't help. Therefore, I'm going to show you that I exist, and you will know that my name is God. We're going to get back to the basic ideas of these sufis. Chatat Yehuda ketuva be'ed barzel b'tzipot en shamir charusha luach libam ulekarnot mizbechotehem. Here the Navi is going to say difficult, harsh words of admonition. And remember, the parsha is Parshat B'chukotai, and at the very heart of Parshat B'chukotai is the Tochacha, the parsha of admonition, where God tells the Jewish people, if you will follow in my ways, all will go well for you, and if not, there we have it in the Seder. Yirmiyahu is telling them, Chatat Yehudat Tuva Be'ed Barzel, the sin of Yehuda is written before me, Be'ed Barzel, with a pen made out of iron. And you know, it's inscribed indelibly. Tzipoden Shamir. Tzipoden is like a nail, something with which you engrave. The tzipoden shamir, the tzipoden of a something as sharp as a gem or a diamond. Charusha luach libam, it is engraved on the very tablet of their heart. Ulekarnot mizbechotechem, and at the corners of your altars. The Navi is going to be talking about the idolatry of Yehuda, and that this is clearly inscribed and written, and God remembers, never to be forgotten. He's the Kor B'nehem Mizbechotam. He's the Kor B'nehem, just as they remember their children. Which parent doesn't remember a child? Just as they remember their children, so too they remember Mizbechotam, the altars that they have built to all sorts of foreign gods. The Asherehem al Eitz Ra'anan al Gevahot HaGevahot. They worship all sorts of trees, fresh trees. That's the Asherah. And there it is, al Gevahot HaGevahot, on the high mountains of Yehuda. A people who had sunk into the depths of idolatry. Harari basadeh chelcha kol otzrotecha lavav etein bamotecha bechatat bechol tvulecha. Harari basadeh, a mountain that emerges from a field. Harari, my mountain. What is my mountain that emerges from the field? That is Eretz Yehuda in general, and Yerushalayim in particular. We all know what it's like once you get to Beth Shemesh, the gas station at Sharagai. The gas station at Sharagai. I've been traveling flat land, table land all the way, and then begins the ascent to Yerushalayim. That's Harari, my mountain. Vaspadeh, coming out of the field. You have to go into second. A good car can make it in third, and then begins the ascent. The same thing is true on the other side.
You go to Male Adumim, and then on the way to Yam HaMelach comes the descent going downwards. Hararim, my mountain, that's the land of Yehuda. And he's been talking about Yehuda. To whom does Yirmiyahu speak? He speaks to Yehuda. Chatat Yehuda, the sin of Yehuda. What's going to happen is, Chelcha, your wealth, Kol Otsrotecha, all of your treasures, everything that you have, Lavav Etein, I am going to make it spoil for the enemy. Bamotecha, Bechatat, Bechol Vulecha. In all of your boundaries, within all of Yehuda, Bamotecha, your high places, where you worship idols, this is your sin. So first of all, what's going to happen is a loss of the wealth and the strength of Klal Yisrael. And of course, we hear in the admonition of Yirmiyahu the echo of the words that are said in the Sedra. But even more, Vishamatita, Vishamatita. The word is extremely important. Vishamatata, huh? It comes from Lashon Shmita, Lahashmit. Shmita means to leave the land fallow. It means, therefore, to leave the land. During the course of the Shmita year, you leave the land. Here is the only place in Tanakh where the word is used to talk about, well, therefore, you're going to leave the land. Vishamatita, you will be removed from the land, you will leave the land. Uvecha, minachlatcha, you from the inheritance, from that land. Ashenatati lach, that I gave to you. Vahavadeticha et oyevecha, you will serve your enemies. Bo'oretz asher lo yadata, in a land that you never knew before. Ki eish, Hidachtem ba'api adolam tukat. Very difficult words. You have caused anger to burn in my nostrils. Ad olam tukat, forever it will burn. Very, very difficult things that are being said by Yirmiyahu. And as I say, we can hear in them the words of the Talchacha, which is the parasha. And of course, understood, and maybe I'll learn the Rashi. The Rashi on the pasuk in the Sedra. The Sedra says Perek Chavav, pasuk Lamed Bet, Vahashimoti Aniyat Haaretz. I will let the land be desolate. V'shamamu Aleha Ayevechem Hayoshvim Ba. The Shamamu Aleha Vayevechem Hayoshvim Ba, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies that dwell therein shall be astonished at it. The Etchen Ezareb Akoyim, and you I will scatter among the nations. The Haditoti Achadechem Terem, and I will draw out the sword after you. V'hoita Arshatem Shemama, your land will be desolate. And your city shall be laid waste. Huh? I'm reading in Perek Chavav. I began Pasuk Lamed Bet. We learned Lamed Bet, Lamed Gimel. Now, Pasuk 34. Oz Tiritzeh Ha'aret Et Shaptoteha. Then shall the land be repaid for Shaptoteha, the Shaptoteha, are the years of Shmita. Kol Yemei Hoshama, all the days that she is desolate. Vatem Be'eretz Ha'yevechem, while you are off in the land of your enemies. Oz Tishvat Ha'aretz, then the land will vet. Ve'hirtza Et Shaptoteha, and she will repay her Sabbath years. The Rashi says, and the same idea is continued in the next pasuk. Kol Yemei Hoshamo, all the days that she will be desolate. Tishbot Et Asher Lo Shapta B'Shaptotechem B'Shiftechem Aleha.
All the days that she was desolate, she will now rest. All of the years that she did not rest when you were in the land. Says Rashi from here, Gemara tells us, 70 years of Galut Babel, the 70 years of the exile, corresponded to 70 different Shemitah years that Jews did not keep the way they should. Because they didn't keep the Shemitah year of permitting the land to lie fallow, what will happen now is the land will be fallow. 70 years that it will not be, they will not work the land. I'm reading from the Rashi and the Parsha. Shivim shono shel golod, Babel, the 70 years of the Babylonian exile, hein hoyu kineged shivim shnot hashmita b'yovel, they correspond to the 70 years of Shmita and Yovel, shahayu b'shanim shehichisru Yisrael v'artzam l'shnei amakom, during the years that the Jewish people angered God in their land. And Rashi makes the entire calculation that tells us that there were this was a period of 70 years, and therefore there will be a 70 years of Galut Babel. So what term does Yirmiyahu, who is finally telling them about the Galut, what term does he use? It's Hamatita. You will be removed. You will be removed from the land in place of that you were supposed to have removed yourself from the land during the years of Yovel and Shemitah. Alright, so here is a direct relationship between the Sedra and the Daftorah. And as I say, Rashi gives the entire calculation of the 70 years of Shemitah and Yovel that they did not keep. But there are more ideas that are going to emerge as we go further in the Haftorah. Kol Amar Hashem, so says God. Arur HaGever Asher Yishpach Ba'adam, accursed is the man who's going to place his faith and his trust in man. V'sam Basar Zero'o, and he's going to make his arm Basar. The word Basar here means man of flesh and blood is going to be the source of his might. And as a result of placing one's trust in man, the result is going to be Umin Hashem Yasur Livo, his heart is going to turn away from God. He's going to have confidence in man, trust to the point of faith, and therefore his heart is going to be removed from God. I believe that what we're going to see here is these psukim to come are going to be the explanation of what Yirmiyahu was talking about at the very beginning. The entire Haftorah is going to be a study in the subject of bitachon, of trust in God. And remember, isn't that precisely the way Yirmiyahu began? Hashem uzi uma uzi, God is my strength and my fortress, minusi b'yom tzarah, the one to whom I flee on a day of trouble. He begins with the declaration that one can have trust and faith only in God. Now he said, and further he pointed out that even the nations of the world are going to arrive at the conclusion, Aksheker nachalu avoteinu, our fathers gave us an inheritance of falsehood, hevel, nonsense, the aim bama will, it does not help. I believe the words hevel and ein bam mo'il are code words in Yirmiyahu. I'm referring back to the second pasuk of the Haftorah, and if we understand the meaning of those code words, hevel, ein bam mo'il, we will understand the basic idea that Yirmiyahu is talking about. I didn't bring my Tanakh. If somebody could give me a Tanakh for a moment. Oh no, this is the one with the tuck-in. At the very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, second chapter in Yirmiyahu, I'm just going to read a number of psukim for the second chapter of Yirmiyahu. And then you'll get an idea of what Yirmiyahu is talking about here. In chapter 2 of Yirmiyahu, Pasuk 5, Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Ma Matzu Avoteichem Bi Avel, what did your fathers find that was wrong with me? Ki Rochaku Me'alai, that they distanced themselves from me. Vayelchu Acharei HaHevel, Vayehepalu, they went after the nonsense, Vayehebalu, and they became Hevel nonsense. V'lo'omru, and they didn't say, Ayei Hashem, where is God? Hamaleu tanu me'eretz Yisrael, where is God who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Hamolich otanu b'midbar, who took us through the desert in the land of Arava, Shukha, Eretz Tziyav, et Salmavet, lo avar b'yish v'lo yashav adam sham, a God who took them out of Mitzrayim, and he took them through the desert, and he brought them to Eretz Yisrael. And then, in Pasuk 8, Yirmiyahu says, HaKohanim, the Kohanim did not say, where is God? The Kohanim say, HaTorah lo yidouni, v'haroim pashubi, v'hanivim nibu v'abal, v'acharei lo yo'ilu halachu, they went after lo yo'ilu, that which does not help remember. What are the two words that Yirmiyahu says in this parak? Hevel, what are the nations going to say? Hevel? Nonsense, ain bam mo'il. Here Yirmiyahu, in his very first chapter of admonition to the Jewish people, he speaks to them about the fact that Vayelchu Acharei HaHevel, they followed Hevel Vayehebalu. We have the word Hevel. And then we also have, they went after something that's low, go ill, that does not help. And then, in Pasuk 11, he says over there, Ha-he-mir goy elu, him, that a people ever trade in a god, the he-mo-lo elohim, that are not really gods. What was the third Pasuk in the Haftarah? Ha-yaselo adam elohim, will a man make for himself a god, the he-mo-lo elohim, and they're not really gods? Same idea is expressed by Yirmiyahu in chapter 2. Ha-he-mir goy elohim, has a people ever traded in a god for something that's not a god? Va'ami he'mir kivoto, and my people traded in their honor for what? Below yo'il, again, for something that does not help. Shomu shamayim alzot, how did they do anything of the sort? How could they do this? In this chapter, we're going to see, the chapter of Haftorah, we're going to see that one of the ideas that Yirmiyahu expresses in a number of places, and so does Yishayahu, really is expressed in its most strongest terms here. And this is part of an ongoing theme that we have found throughout Tanakh, and we've discussed it in the Haftorah. Same question that we've dealt with a number of times. Really think Jews bow down before all sorts of idols? You think they were foolish enough to go ahead and make for themselves all sorts of graven images and prostrate themselves before these graven images? We had once proved that proved beyond a doubt that the number of real idolaters in Israel was very, very minimal, very small. People who really worshipped idols, a very, very small number. So what's the prophet talking all the time about? Trading in God, following that which is Hevel, Ein Bamoil, on all of the heights of Yehuda you find idolatry. What is he talking about? What he's really talking about is not necessarily man who prostrates himself before some kind of an idol made out of wood or gold and silver. What it means is, as Yirmiyahu is beginning to make very clear here, in the Haftorah, he says it very, very clearly. And we will see he says it in chapter 2. Arur HaGever, cursed is the man, Asher Yiftach Va'adam, who's going to place his trust in man. V'som Basar Zero'o, and his might is going to be man of flesh and blood. U'min Hashem Yasur Libo, and he turns his heart away from God. The moment that I begin to place my trust in man, and when we talk about trust in man, it means not only somebody else, it may very well mean me. When I trust in my own ability, I will be able to resolve any difficulties, obstacles that stand before me will be removed. Man with his intelligence and his technology and his medicine is going to be able to make this world a much better world in which to live. Or, as it was in the times of Yirmiyahu, and we'll see it in two places, in chapter 2 of Yirmiyahu, and we're also going to see it in chapter 30 of Yeshayahu. These are code words when he talks about hevel, nonsense. And when he talks about ein b'mo'il, something that does not help, this is a code. You know what it means? It means alliances that were entered into by the Jewish people with other nations. What he's talking about is, here is an Eretz Yisrael that was fought at the time of Yirmiyahu between the two superpowers of the day. Assyria and then Babel to the north, and Egypt to the south. Very often the battleground was Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael was either going to Egypt for aid and assistance, or they were entering into an agreement with Babel or Ashur. This was a terrible mistake. It was a fatal error. The moment that we begin to place our trust, or God forbid, our faith in man, then we're finished. That's the beginning of the end. In chapter 2 of Yirmiyahu, after he talks about hevel and nonsense and ein b'mo'il, that which will not help, so he says in Pasuk 18, Va'atah, and now, in chapter 2, Malach lederech Mitzrayim, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? Lishtot mei shichor, to drink from the waters of the Nile. Umalach lederech Ashur, what are you doing going to Ashur? Lishtot mei nahar, to drink the waters of the Nahar. The Nahar is Nahar Prat, the Euphrates. What are you running to Mitzrayim? What are you running to Ashur? Do you think that your salvation is going to come from Ashur or from Mitzrayim? Man is fickle. Man live with self-interest. If at a particular moment in time the self-interest of Mitzrayim would be to come to the aid and the assistance of Eretz Yisrael, then they would do it. And even then you can't depend on them. Yeshayahu, in chapter 30, that always to me is the absolute proof that we're dealing with code words. And the truth is that in Tanakh, the Navi will use certain words, and you have to know what the words mean. And the only way you can know what the words mean is by looking at other Prakim in Tanakh. I'm going to read from chapter 30 and 31, a few select Sukkim in Yeshayahu, chapters 30 and 31. I'm going to begin, I'll give you the number of the Pasuk, and I will go, Pasuk Aleph. Hey, Banim, Sardinim, well, you rebellious sons, no Hashem, says God, Lassot, Eitzah, to take counsel, below me, this is counsel that does not come from me, V'linsoch Ma'fecha, you appoint a prince over yourself, V'lo Ruchi, and it's not with my spirit, L'mansprot Chatat al Chatat, and all you're going to do is you're going to add sin upon sin. What's the terrible sin? What are they doing that they haven't asked God? Ha'olchim La'edet Mitzrayim, those who go down to Egypt. Ufi Rosha Olu, they didn't ask me. La'oz bima'oz Paro, in order to find strength in the fortress of Paro, v'lachasod v'tzeil Mitzrayim, and to find the shelter in Egypt. Ah, la'oz B'ma'oz Paro, what does Yirmiyahu say? No, no, no. Hashem Uzi U'ma'ozi. God is my strength and my ma'oz. And what are they doing? They go down La'oz B'ma'oz Paro to find strength in the ma'oz that is Paro. V'hoyolachem ma'oz Paro L'boshet, the fortress Paro will be for you a source of embarrassment. V'hechasud B'tzel Mitzrayim, and finding shelter in the shadow of Egypt, Lima, is going to be a terrible embarrassment. Pasuk 5. There we begin to find the meaning of the code words of Tanakh. Kol hivish. Kol hivish. All of it, they shall all be ashamed. Al am lo yo'ilu lamo. They have placed their trust in a people that is lo yo'ilu lamo, that are not going to be of any help, no benefit. Lo le'ezer, the lo lo'il, they will not assist, nor will they be of any benefit. Aha, what did Yirmiyahu say in chapter 2? Vayelchu acharei ha'evel vayehebolu, and they trusted in that which is lo yo'ilu, that which doesn't help. And what does he say here in the Haftarah? What are the words over here? Achsheken nochalu avoteinu. Our fathers gave us an inheritance that is called Hebel, the Ein Bam Mo'il. Ein Bam Mo'il, when Yirmiyahu uses it, he's talking about placing faith and trust in Mitzrayim, or for that matter, any other human being. In the next pasuk in Yeshayahu, the end of the pasuk says, sending all sorts of gifts, al am lo yo'ilu, to a nation that cannot help them. Pasuk 7 is fascinating. U'mitzrayim hevel, barik ya'azoru. You know what Mitzrayim is? Hevel. Now that we have all of the pasukim in place, now we have it clearly said. Hevel ein bam mo'il in our Haftarah. In chapter 2 of Yirmiyahu, Vayelchu, they went acharei ha-hevel. They went after hevel, after nonsense, nothing, Vayehebolu, and they became nothing. Here Yishayahu says it clearly. Mitzrayim is hevel v'rech. Further on in Yeshayahu, I'm just looking for another topic. The whole perek is talking about having entered into all sorts of agreement, or assuming that the Mitzrayim is going to come to their aid, and Mitzrayim cannot be trusted. One cannot place any kind of faith or trust in them. Terrible mistake. Beginning of chapter 31, just a few psukim here, and we'll go back to our Haftorah. Hoy hayordim Mitzrayim le'ezro. Woe to those who go down to Mitzrayim in order to get their help. Al susim yisha'enu. They lean upon the horses. Horses represents the strength of Mitzrayim. Vayivtichu. Now we have the word bitachon. Vayiftechu, and they trusted al rechev tizav, the chariots that are many, val paroshim, and the cavalry tiotmumo that are mighty. Velo shou al tzedosh Yisrael, they did not turn to the Holy One of Israel, that Hashem lo doroshu, and they did not seek out God. They did not seek out God. Pasuk 3 is the last pasuk we will learn here. U'mitzrayim adam. Veloel. Mitzrayim is man and not God. Aha. What did the Navi here say? Orur ha-geber asheyivtach ba-adam. Cursed is the man who's going to trust in Adam. Is Adam again a code word? U-mitzrayim Adam. Mitzrayim, Yeshayahu says, is Adam, man, veloel. Vistusehem basar. And their horses are basar. What did Yirmiyahu say in the Orur HaGeber HaSheYiftach Ba'adam? the son Basar Zeroa Basar is going to be his might, his heir. Code words. O Mitzrayim Adam Velo El. Mitzrayim is man and not God, and their horses are Basar Velo Ruach. Vashem Yate Yado V'Koshal Ozer V'Napal Ozur. God, all that God has to do is just incline his hand a little bit, give the signal. The Choshal Ozer, the one who's come to give aid and assistance, will stumble. The Nafal Ozur, the one who needs the assistance, is going to fall. The Yagdav Kulam Yisroyon, and together all of them are going to be destroyed. So therefore, here we have in the Haftarah, we have all sorts of words that have been used by Yirmiyahu that on the face of it seems to be that he's talking about idols, geshkes, made out of wood and stones and gold and silver. Look at how all of the words that he has used, hevel, eindam mo'il, basar, adam, every one of these words is a code word that talks about Mitzrayim, and when he talks about Mitzrayim, doesn't mean Mitzrayim alone. Anybody to whom we're going to turn and assume that our Me'ayin Yavoh Ezri, where is my aid and my assistance going to come from? From America, from Baker, from Bush, where? And every time, it's somebody else. There's always somebody else that we think that this is the Yeshua is going to come. I don't know who's coming today, the Soviet farmer. Yeah. They just thought, well, it must be at the King David Hotel. Yeah, block away. All right. Just for anybody who's listening to the tape, they should know that we live right over here in the very center of history. The news is taking place all around us, and we continue to learn Torah undisturbed by the fact that all sorts of... And don't get me wrong. If Russia is going to renew relations, diplomatic relations with Eretz Yisrael, that's something extremely significant and important for Russia. It's quite a step for Russia to take. You know what that means? You know what Russia is saying? We made a mistake. We made a mistake. Obviously, it's not going to be couched in that kind of terminology. Israel is different. They've become good boys. Now we can renew relations. And I don't underestimate it. Renewed relations is going to mean pretty much a guarantee of the flow of Olim to Eretz Yisrael. This is extremely important. It's a tremendous miracle. I think it's part of what the Navi says. They left of Goyim Yavohu, may after orders unto you, nations are going to come from the very ends of the earth, and they're going to say, Ach, Sheken, Nachalu Avotenu. It was all a lie, it was a mistake. It was a terrible mistake. The point is that we should have learned already at this time in history, and this is what Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu were saying to them. We should have learned never to place our trust in Basar Adam, in man. And when he talks about man, first of all, he talks about other nations of the world. Because take a look, things change so dramatically. At the very establishment of the state, who came to the aid and the assistance? It was Russia. It was the Eastern European countries that were sending arms to Eretz Yisrael. Truman had placed an embargo on arms. So then America was not the one that was aiding and assisting. It's extremely important. It's extremely important. This is what the message of Yirmiyahu is. That we have to understand that we are Am Hashem, we're the people of God. And therefore our faith and our trust has to be reserved for Him. The Radak. The Radak, for example, right here in the... On this parrot, the Radak says, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with entering into agreements and alliances with other people. Nothing wrong with that. All that's wrong is when I feel that this is going to save me. I also have to understand that if my aid and my assistance does come through this alliance, it's because such is the will of God. Enter into agreements. Yes, open up diplomatic relations. All of these things have to be done. But Leiv Melachim B'Sodin B'Yad Hashem, the heart of kings and princes is in the hands of God. The ultimate decision as to what happens to the Jewish people is in the hands of God and not in the hands of anybody else. I quoted a number of times over here. I'll never forget hearing Rav Salom Deitchik once this year, where he was talking about the terrible mistake that the Jewish people, American Jewish community, made during the Second World War that they had faith in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he said it was a terrible error. Faith. You can never use the word faith or trust with regard to a fellow human being. That's reserved for God alone. If we wouldn't have had faith in Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we would have gone out into the streets of America and we would have cried out. But no, we were all caught up in this. Roosevelt is the Yeshua. Roosevelt is going to end the war. He's going to save the world and the Jewish people. So faith or trust is something that you cannot say with regard to a fellow human being or a nation. Those are words that belong exclusively to the relationship that exists between ourselves and God, not to the man. I can have confidence. Maybe the word confidence, I can have confidence in a fellow human being. But faith or absolute trust? No. And this is what Yirmiyahu is telling them. He's not talking to a people who are prostrating themselves before all sorts of idolatries. He's talking about a people for whom their faith in man or in other human beings has become an idolatry. Why? Because Umin Hashem Yosur Livo, he turns his heart away from God. Oh, Toamar Hashem, Orur HaGever, back to the passage in Yirmiyahu. Orur HaGever Ashi Yiftar Ba'adam, cursed is the man who will trust fellow man, the son Basar Zerao, and his might will be Basar. And remember, as Yeshayahu tells us, just in place of the word Adam, Mitzrayim, Basar, Sus. And there are Mitzrayims in every generation. All sorts of people or powers to whom we look for aid and assistance. And what happens therefore is Min Hashem Yafsur Lipo, so his heart turns away from God. What will happen to the person who places his trust in man? Vohayoka Ar Ba'arava. Vohayoka Ar Ba'arava. He shall be, I don't know what a tamarisk is. Huh? A tree, yeah, it's a tree, it's a tree that stands alone in the desert. Alone. That means it's open to all of the elements, and therefore it doesn't get nourishment. And what will happen is, lo yireh ki yavoto, that tree is not going to see when good will come. V'shachein charedim b'midbar, and it dwells, charedim means absolutely dry and hot, out in the desert. Eretz malecha, land that is salty, v'lo teishev, that cannot be inhabited. Alone, and you know what happens? Its life fades away. Because it has removed itself from the source of its nourishment. The real source of nourishment is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one who turns to others will really end up in the end like this tree
out there in the desert with no source of nourishment, dry and die.
Going in order, yes.
That's the next point I'm going to get to. The next point, in other words, when we talk about cursed is the man who's going to have trust in myself or in mankind as a whole, and one further step we will see.
Trust in my own intelligence. Trusting too much my own intelligence. We're going to show how all of these apply. Now, one other point we have to keep in mind. The whole Sedra, if the whole Sedra is talking about Jews that have not kept Shemitah and therefore they're going to go into Tolus, what does that mean? Not keeping Yovel and Shemitah is bad. But does that mean that a nation has to be destroyed, a people sent into exile? Not keeping Shemitah represents a lack of faith and trust. What was it? And now I understand why there are some communities where this Haftorah, this chapter in Yirmiyahu, is the Haftorah for Parashat Bahar, last week's Sedra. Last week's Sedra was the halakhot of Shemitah and Yovel. And if you're going to say, Man, no, Man, what are we going to eat in the 7th year? So God says, don't worry, have trust in me. I'll make sure that in the 6th year, there will be enough food to take you through the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, until the 9th year. Shemitah and Yovel is an exercise in faith, absolute faith. So when it says that the Churban came because they didn't keep Shemitah, Shemitah is representative of the idea that they did not have the faith and trust they should. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
Yes.
In other words, so you have the same language, the same ideas applied to Aste Oren, which then afterwards, following, are applied to Yehuda, and then in Yirmiyahu and in Yeshayahu also, in the same words that you quoted, are used only for Yisrael. Isn't that a little bit strange?
What Yirmiyahu is really telling them is, you should know that there is a time will come when faith and trust in God is going to become universal in nature. And remember, the point of every Haftorah is usually to take a theme or an idea in the Sedra and project it into the future, and also beyond the future to make it something which is going to be universal and global in nature, because that's the end of history. The end of history, Kimi Tzion Teisei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Not only we, but all nations of the world. Al Kein Nekabel Ocha Hashem Elokeinu Lirot Meheira B'Tiferet Uzecho LaHavir Gilulim Min Haaretz. The removal of all forms of idolatry. What forms of idolatry? Man trusting in himself. How often have we talked about once asked if she would have turned to the man in the street at the beginning of the 20th century. A reporter on the streets of New York. What do you project for this century? The beginning of the new century. What do you think this century is going to be like? You know what they would have said? They would have said the strides forward that science and technology, we have cars that are moving at 20 miles an hour, we've smallpox, beginning of the century, Smallpox, I'm talking about the year 1900, the beginning of the 20th century. They didn't even know that a plane would be, it was 6 years before Kitty Hawk. And you know, there's no more smallpox in the world, and women didn't have the vote yet then. All right, that obviously wasn't important. But there was... hadn't Alexander Graham Bell already said Watson something or other? I mean, there were telephones on Macca. All right, it's better telephone. But there were tremendous strides forward that would be made by technology at the turn of the century. A man would have said, "This is going to be a great century. Who knows what? Who knows what yet is going to be developed during this close of the century?" Could anybody have imagined that from flying 100 meters over there out in Kitty Hawk, South Carolina, 70 years later, man would land on the moon? And then what happened? What happened was it turned out to be the most tragic century in all of history. If there would be a century that should be erased from history, it's the 20th century. The century where man murdered, slaughtered, and killed more human beings than just about any other century in all of history. And this is with the help of technology. He used his technology in order to perfect means of mass extermination. It's unbelievable. And you know where this comes from? A man who is so overcome with his own ability. In a sense, he begins to worship. He worships his own technology, his own ability to solve all problems. And in the event, and in the final analysis, man without God becomes the most godless kind of demon the world has ever seen. This is what Yirmiyahu is talking about. Arur HaGever. Why does he use the word Arur? Cursed is the man. You know why? Because man who trusts in man is going to become a cursed man. And if I would have been Yirmiyahu, I would have said, it's not nice for man to have faith and trust in man. Arur! Order together, and the end is umin Hashem yasur livo. He removes his heart from God, so it's more than that. Not only that, he no longer places trust and faith in God. He removes God from history. He removes the presence of God from the decision-making processes in the world, and it becomes a godless world. In a godless world, you can destroy millions of people without batting an eyelid. And it continues ad hayom hazeh. If we think that the 20th century has seen the last of mass murderers, we've had a few. I mean, they don't come to the mass murderers earlier in this century, but Saddam Hussein Yamat Shemai is no small killer. No small killer. And do we know what's going on? Assad, yeah, Assad is able to, 30,000 people? We're talking about mass murderers. Yes. It certainly is beyond the... beyond the topic of this year, I'm afraid to even touch that question. I'm afraid that this is not for me. I'm a little guy over here. Listen, anything that is taken to an extreme can be dangerous. Anything that can be taken to an extreme, even if it means faith in a Rebbe or a Rosh Hashiva or anything else, man has to be able to remain independent. He has to be able to think for himself. But that's really not it's too dangerous. Yes. Malka. That's the way it should be, absolutely. The Rebbe or the Chashive is a guide, he is a teacher, he's a mentor. If by some people the Rebbe becomes more than that, then it's a problem. Then it's a problem. Yes, it's a problem. Baruch HaGeveh Asher Yivtar B'Hashem. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. And God will be his fortress. What does it say? Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose trust the Lord is. One can understand this pasuk in a slightly different way. Baruch HaGeveh, blessed is the man Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, who will place his trust in God. And you know what? Do you know what the end will be if you place your trust in God? Then the reward is V'yah Hashem Yiftacho. God will be his trust. By virtue of the fact that I place my trust in him, he will be the source of trust. V'yah Ke'ez Shatul Al Mayim. He will be like a tree that is planted by water. V'al Yuval Yishalach Shirashav. And Yuval is a stream. Al Yuval, along the stream, Yishalach Shoroshav, he will send his roots. We're talking about growth and strength. V'lo Yireh, he will not be afraid to Yavo home if a very hot day is going to come. V'haya Olehu Ra'anan, his leaf will be fresh. U'vishnat Batzoret, and in a year of drought, lo Yid'ag, he will not worry. Below your mishme asod peri, he will never be removed from bearing fruit. What does this pasuk remind us of? First perek in Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish, ashelo halach batzat rishayim uvaderech hatayim lo amad uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav. Ki im b'sorat Hashem chefso uvetorato yehege yom v'layla v'haya ke'etz shatul al palgei mayim hashev piryo Yitain bi'ito v'olehu lo yibo. And the same idea is expressed so beautifully by both Yirmiyahu and David HaMelech. There's light where there is trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's light and there's a future. Okov halev mikol v'onushu. Very interesting passage. Akol halev mikol, the heart of man is akov. Akov means deceitful, is what the English says. Akov, well, remember, why was Yaakov called Yaakov? By Yaakveni Zepamayim, Yaakov tries to stop Esau. A cove also means that which is crooked. Or Yeshayahu says, V'hayohe a cove l'mishar. No, it's that he's talking about Jews coming back to Eretz Yisrael. The crooked ways will become straight highways. The heart is crooked. Anushu. The heart is ill. The heart of man, one doesn't know. Mi yeda enu. Who knows? People can say, I have betachin, and I have faith, and I have trust. Do I know what's going on in a person's heart? Who knows what goes on in the heart? Ani Hashem, I God, choker leiv u'bochein klayot. I God, the one who searches out the heart and knows what takes place in the mind of man. V'latet le'ish kidrachav kefiri ma'alalav, to give man to reward or punish. And this is one of the fundamental psukim that express the idea there is reward and punishment. Latet le'ish kidrachav, to reward or punish a man according to the path in which he goes. Kifri ma'alalav, the fruit of his actions. Man is judged not only on the basis of what he does or the path in which he goes, but what are the results? Pri ma'alalav,
the fruit of his deeds. Who knows? Somebody does something and it can have an effect that 5, 10, 20 years later, man is either rewarded or found guilty for that as well. I find also with this pasuk, I find another relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. That other relationship is the fact that the very end of the Sedra, the very end of the Sedra tells us the halacha of Tmura. The halacha of Tmura is the following. In Parashat B'chukotai, says the last two psukim, you're supposed to give every tenth animal that's born during the year has to be given as Meiser, a tenth. Lo yivaker ben tov l'ra. Lo yivaker, the last two psukim. One should not look whether it's good or bad. V'lo yimidenu, and you're not permitted to exchange it. V'im hamer yimidenu. And if you're going to exchange it, in other words, here is an animal that has become Kodesh, it's holy, it's the tenth. I take a look at it, I say, it doesn't look good. Shanda that I should bring something like this as nicer. I'm going to give a better animal than that one. If he does that, v'hayahu utmurato yihye Kodesh lo yigael. The exchange is also going to become holy. And the first one will be holy. Lo yigael, and it cannot be redeemed. Whatever comes out as number 10, that's it. The Rambam, in the Yad HaChazakah, there are a number of classic, magnificent places where the Rambam explains the reason for a halacha. And here, what's wrong if a man is going to say, this animal is not a nice animal, I'd like to give a much better one? What's wrong with doing that? I want to be very frug. I'm going to give a real nice animal. Says the Rambam, the reason for this halacha is the following. If man is given the opportunity and the right to make an exchange, you know what he can ultimately end up doing? He can give a bad one for a good one and convince himself that it's the good one. The strange machinations and the workings of the heart. We are able to justify and rationalize whatever we do. And then if he would be given the opportunity to make an exchange, you can never tell at what moment he's going to take an uzgivekte behene. And he's going to look at it and say, take a look at this. What a shena behene. Man is able to do that. Man is able to do that. And therefore the Torah says, no, under no circumstances, you cannot, you know what the Torah is saying? You cannot trust yourself. So there are enough, if so, the very end of the Seder is related to the Haftorah in so many different ways. Utter Agever, cursed is the man Ashi Yiftar Ba'adam, who's going to trust man, trust himself. Can't trust himself. You know why? Yirmiyahu says it. Because Akov Halev, the heart of man is crooked. Anoshu, man's heart can be sick. Mi Yeda Enu, who knows it? So here is such a profound relationship between our halacha in Torah and what Yirmiyahu is saying in the Haftarah. Can't trust yourself. That's why we need a set of rules called Torah, which are objective and divine in nature. That's what our measuring rod is. If it would be left up to us, who knows? What? Isn't that the story, as we were talking about, the story of the 20th century? In its ugliest,
in its ugliest manifestation of all, the great crime of history. Nazi Germany was not convinced that they were doing the world the greatest service of all, and they believed it. Akol Halei, the heart is able to take the worst evil, not merely justify and rationalize it. This is not evil. This is a great service to all of mankind. They were convinced of it. They were convinced of it till their dying day. And are still convinced. How often do we hear, you know, from Palestinian and other sources, like, unfortunately Hitler did not finish the job. And people are able to justify it. People are able to justify it. Take a look. The heart. The heart can break. Can you imagine members of the Israeli Knesset go to the United States of America in order to get American public opinion to pressure Israel and convince us that the Hitnahaluyot are an obstacle to peace? Now, do you know what that means? You know what it really means? They know that they failed here, so they're going there to ask a Goyish country to bring pressure on Israel. It staggers the imagination. And you'll talk to any one of them, they will talk to you calmly and they will say that this is in the best interests of peace. We're going to save Israel. Israel has to be saved from itself. They will talk, you know, just like they usually have the ability to talk like a missionary. Remember, missionaries used to come to the door. You yelled at them, you spat at them and everything, and they just sit there and talk to you about, you know, you have to have God in your heart. They'll come there, and what they have failed to do, you understand, what they have failed to accomplish by the democratic process in a democratic country, they're going to go to the United States in order to convince the United States to bring pressure upon the Jewish people. This is not a crookedness of the highest order, but are they convinced that it's so? Of course. Man is capable of convincing himself that the ugliest evil is good. That's what Yirmiyahu is saying. Akol Halei, Onush Mikol, Mi Yedoenu. Malka. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The most despised person in the Jewish community throughout history was the Meiser, the Malshin, the one who would go to the guy in order to say bad things. Always, it was instinctive. Unfortunately, that's one of the prices that we have to pay because we are a democratic country. A totalitarian state would, what do you mean, wouldn't tolerate it? They know how to deal with this kind of begida. All right. So I'm saying the relationship to that halacha at the end of the Sedra, Lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu, v'hayahu tmurato yakodesh lo yigael. Man who wants to give a good animal in place of a bad animal will ultimately, the Rambam says, will ultimately give a good one in place, a bad one in place of a good one, and say, it's great, it's the best. There is so much to say on this haftarah. I'll just have to make a number of comments.
How are we going to do this? All right, we have another few minutes. First of all, there are a number of psukim here. There are a number of psukim here that appear in Pirkei Avot. And in Pirkei Avot, we will see that precisely the idea that we're talking about is expanded on there. At the end of the third parak of Pirkei Avot.
I didn't bring my Pirkei Avot.
Does somebody have a sitter? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Imein Torah, first Mishnah, there are two Mishnayot here of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Imein Torah, Imein Derecheret, Imein Torah, Imein Chachma, Imein Yira, Imein Yira, Imein Chachma, Imein Dat, Imein Vina, Imein Dat, Imein Kemach, Imein Torah, Imein Kemach. Hu Haya Omer. He used to say, Kol shechokhmato meruva meima'asav, anybody whose wisdom is more than his deed. Intelligent, knows a great deal, but his ma'asim, a great deal of Torah, but his deeds are not in keeping with all of the his great intellect. Lemahu doma, to what can he be compared? Le'ilan, to a tree. Sha'anafav merubin, who has a tree that has many branches, v'sharoshov mu'atin, but very few roots. V'haruach ba, so what happens? If it's top heavy, the tree has a lot of branches, but not too strong down below. Along comes a wind, v'okarto, and uproots it, v'ofachto alponot, and turns it over on its face. Shene emar, v'hoya ka'ar or v'arava, v'lo yir'e ki avoto, v'shochein charedim v'midbar eret melecha v'lo teshev. I will pause it right here in Yirmiyahu. We'll come back. Avo kol shema'asav merubin, a person whose deeds are many, and more may chachmato, more than his wisdom, l'mohu domet, to what can he be compared? Le'ilam, to a tree, sha'anafav mu'atin, that has few branches, not so doesn't have that much wisdom, but the sharoshav merubin, but his roots are many. Shafilu kol haruchot shebaolam ba'ot v'noshvot bo, even if all of the winds in the world are going to blow against him, ein mizizino tomi mikomo, they do not remove him from his place. Shen ne'emar, as it says, the next pasuk in the Haftorah, v'hoyot ke'eid shatul al mayim v'ayuval yishalach shoroshav v'lo yireki yavochom v'hoyot aleyu re'anon v'vishnat batzoret lo yidad v'lo yamish me'asot peri. Do you know what the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking about? Chokhmato merubah means man of great intellect. But there is a pa'ar. There is a pa'ar, a gap. Malka has to teach me English. Malka has accomplished great things. There's a gap. Gap between one's intellect and one's deeds. That means here is a, you know what kind of person this is? This is a person who's impressed with himself. A Schwitzer, yes. An intellectual Schwitzer who worships his own intellect. That's what the Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying. You know what happens with the person who worships his own intellect but does not practice what he preaches? Doesn't put into action his pure intellect but no deeds. So then there are no roots. There's no strength there. Anything can come and wipe it out completely. That's really the substance of the whole Sedra.
how does the Seder begin? If you will go in my chukim, what is the chok? The chok is that which man, with his intellect, cannot understand. If you will go in my chukim, in other words, you're going to be one who ma'asav merubim mechachmato, whose deeds are more than his intellect. The Tiferet Yisrael is a beautiful parish on this Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Describes in this Mishnah, he describes the man who is the great intellectual, and he worships himself, but he sees himself as a law unto himself. He's not ready to submit before the greater divine wisdom. What does Indachukotai Teleich? Man submitting, bending even his intellect before God and saying, with all of my intelligence, with all of my brilliance, I am ready, though I do not understand, to go in the chukot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it means that the whole idea that is expressed in the entire Sefer and in the Haftarah is man who places his, not only his physical safety in the hands of God, but even his mind and his intellect. Because akov halei, the heart is very, very crooked. Onushu, there's an illness in the heart. It means, therefore, that all of the halakot from in the chukotai to the halakha of lo yamir, you cannot exchange or trade in. It's all talking about the fickleness of man's intellect. My wife bought me a book a few weeks ago, and she knew that this book, great. I'm in the middle of reading it. I recommend it. It's in paperback at Spinetti's. By Paul Johnson, The Intellectuals. Everything I said in this whole year, that Paul Johnson, The Intellectual. I'll tell you what, Paul Johnson wrote a magnificent history of the Jews that was written a few years ago. If you want to read a guy who writes a history of the Jews and wants to make one point throughout his big thick book, that if there is a people who said that divine God is the one who runs history, it's the Jewish people who said it, and their history proves it. A guy, you got to read it. The history of the Jews. So he wrote a book that I didn't read yet. It's a must. Okay, let me finish The Intellectuals. And The Intellectuals, he takes the gedolei olam of the intellectual world from Rousseau down to the present day. I mean, the people who I was raised, anybody who's taken any kind of liberal arts education, what are you talking about? Rousseau and Bertrand Russell and Sartre, all the gedolei olam. And what he does is he just gives you the biography of each one of these gedolim. They were the most immoral, more than immoral. Rousseau fathered 5 children. Rousseau was the godel, the intellectual godel. He influenced everything that came after him. 5 children whom he never saw. He gave each child away as they were born. He wanted nothing to do with them. Now, I read that, I went out of my mind. The whole book is a book of Orur HaGever HaShiyiftar Ba'adam V'Sam Basar Zerao. Each one of these guys, the things that they did, we couldn't even imagine in our wildest dreams. We can't imagine. You have to read it. I could take an hour just describing what the man tells us about these intellectuals. They were the most, give me a good, corrupt, some more words, degenerate. There was a bit, as Malka would say, there was a big gap
between their intellectual achievements and how they were chachmasai meruba nimasa. Their deeds were so evil. And these are the people who have had such a tremendous impact. You got to read it. It's unbelievable. The things that you can't even imagine. We can't even relate. We can't relate to the terrible things that they did. That's the Haftarah and that's the Sedra. And let me at least read the last. It's too late. Let's read at least the last. The last. For any Hashem the Eirafe Hoshieni Vinivashea Ki Tehilati Ata. This is the pasuk that in its plural has become part of our tefillah. For any Yirmiyo prays for any Hashem the Eirafe Hoshieni Vinivashea for any Hashem the Eirafe, heal me. And you know what kind of healing he's talking? An intellectual healing. A spiritual healing. Sin is considered an illness, and then Hoshieni, you will save me, and if you save me, then Vaivasheya, I know that I'm saved. Anybody else might place my faith and trust in be a terrible mistake. Kihiti Latiata. In the end, if I place my trust in you, then it will be praise to me. If I place my trust in somebody else and for some temporary period of time they save me, then it's their praise. If you save me, Kehilati Ata, you are the one whom I praise, and you're the source of praise for me. All right.